grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hello and welcome to St. Stephen's Online Church. It is our hope that worshipping together today online, you will have your soul fed, but also gain further insight into the nature and character of our God. If you are new to worshipping with us here online, please know that we are thrilled that you're checking us out. When we are able to get back to gathering for in-person worship, we really hope that you'll come along so that we can get to know you a little bit better. In the meantime, we are available through the website, by email, and by phone, and we'd love to hear from you. Let's take this time to light our candles and pray. Spirit of God, weave in and around this light in your holy mystery, bringing understanding and further knowledge to each one of us today as we contemplate the teachings of Jesus Christ and the boundless love of God. Amen. Church, let's enter into worship together in prayer. God of the harvest, you have called us to step out in faith, to love like you have loved us, to proclaim your good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus, send your Holy Spirit upon us. Enable and inspire us to do the work you've set before us, even though it's looking quite different to just a few months ago. Lead us, Lord, for we are your labourers, called and sent out in your name. Work in us and through us, we pray, as we express our love for you through the labours you've called us to. For your name's sake, we bow before the throne of heaven and say, Amen.
Good morning, friends. Will you join me in saying together our prayer of confession? Calling Christ, we come to you grieving for our lost opportunities and lack of faith. We know all too well that many times we choose to stay in known places with known people, convincing ourselves that this is where you want us to be, closing our ears to your calling love. Do not give up or leave us alone. Call to us again, Jesus. This we pray in faith. Amen. Friends, God is the love that over and around us lies, the grace that is totally unearned. God is the healing that makes the earth and us whole. And God is the very presence who goes with us as we make our way to those people we are called to. For all of this, we give thanks to God, for we are forgiven. Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 35, through to chapter 10, verse 16. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. You received without payment. Give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Friends, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, St. Stephen's. I confess that I am finding it increasingly difficult to know just how to pray these days, and just exactly what to pray for with so many big things going on in the world lately. So much pain and fear. So, this morning my prayers are heavily influenced and interwoven by Scripture, specifically Psalm 42, which has been resonating with me lately. Please join me in prayer and pursuit of hope. Father, thank you for bringing us to this place of gathering, even though we are apart physically. Thank you for the strength of our community of faith and the blessings you bestow upon your people. We thank you that we have seen a significant reduction in the presence of COVID-19 in our province, and we continue to pray for communities across our country and the globe who are still suffering under this pandemic. We thank you for the great awakening that is happening, that injustices are being brought to light, exposed, and dealt with. The world is changing. You are constantly making things new. But these birthing pains are hard to take some days. As a deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? God, what is happening to our humanity? Sickness, revolution, unrest, isolation, oppression, the death of too many to the opioid crisis. My tears have been my food day and night, and my mind struggles with the taunts of where is your God? And these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. God, help us to put our hope in you. For we will yet praise you, our Savior and our God. We are not lost. My soul may be downcast, but I will remember you. You are good. You are grace. You are faithful. You are blessing. You are beautiful creation. You are deep, calling to deep. In the roar of your oceans, all your waves and breakers, your mighty wind and rain, they sweep and cleanse. The grass continues to grow. Birds continue to sing. Flowers paint our landscape, and children continue to view the world with their unbroken optimism. Oh, that we could share in their unabashed joy and faith. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, my mind in agony and my fears taunting me? Where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for we will yet praise him, our Savior and our God. God, you call us to be salt and light, hands and feet, the extension of your kingdom here on this broken earth. Father, show us how to be your people in this world, how to respond to the shift in history. I pray that we wouldn't be afraid to walk the difficult paths. I pray that we would respond to each other with love and kindness. I pray that we would not be silenced, and at the same time that we would be careful not to weaponize our voices. God, help us to separate sin from sinner and not to forget the way of grace. Father, I pray that you would breathe new life into us. Strengthen us, bolster us to continue your good works here on earth. May we not neglect to connect with you or each other. Help us to hold on to the memory of corporate worship, and may we be assured that we worship together now as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. those of you who were worshiping with the St. Stephen's community last week may remember that we actually led the whole service from this sanctuary, which is the first time we've done that in 3 months since March 15th. Where does the time go when you're having fun? And yes, that isn't meant to be an ironic, sardonic statement. This has not been my preferred way of being, as I'm sure it hasn't been yours. I realized last week that I would much rather preach from here than my family room or patio, so I've decided for the duration, this is where I'm going to end up preaching. See, I rather like being here. I find that there's comfort in the sense of place I get in being in the St. Stephen's sanctuary. It's got the whole worship vibe happening for me. Though I do confess, it's a little weird being here all on my own. I do have a sense of comfort in knowing that I'm indeed surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses, but I confess to rather missing your faces. I miss seeing you fighting yawns during the sermon and nervously glancing at your watches and at your cell phones to see if they've actually stopped. And it's my guess that most of you haven't been in the sanctuary for those 3 months now. And so I thought I'd give you a quick look, because we've needed to shift some things around a bit. This side of a vaccine and needing to think what worship services together might look like when we get back into this room, we've been trying to figure out how to gather while at the same time and keeping appropriate distance. And so we gathered up all the chairs to help us to figure out how to best utilize this room, to get a sense of what space we actually have and how we might want to reconfigure things.
So Diane did the calculations based on the required 6-foot spacing. And the largest number that we think we can actually seat here at present is 32 people, which is, as you can imagine, a bit problematic for us. Having 6 services per Sunday to accommodate our folks just isn't a likelihood, I'm afraid. And on top of that, when we're able to actually get together, we're not going to be able to sing the side of a vaccine, because it's singing's considered a high-risk activity, and we've been advised to not do it. And, of course, if we put these plastic chairs in place for small face-to-face gatherings. We went with the plastic chairs because we have to clean them after the meetings, and plastic just makes it easier. And yet we've been figuring out, say, a route in, because you have to work that out. And then we have to work out what a route out of the building is. And honestly, it's all quite complicated and challenging.
And so for the short term anyway, your board's decided not to reopen for in-person worship just yet. And while there are some things that we might be able to do here in the building, it doesn't seem prudent to us to begin to worship physically together just yet. We have begun to try and get some feedback from you on what your needs are, worship needs and beyond. So I hope you've seen and already begun to think about the questionnaire that we just emailed out this week. Responding to it's going to be really, really important because it'll help us chart our course for the next little while. Because we're trying to determine the most sensible and helpful ways to reopen this building while still observing the health rules and the guidelines for gathering. All the while remembering our quite unusual demographics. We are, after all, located in what is statistically the oldest community in the nation. And we have to recognize the unique vulnerabilities that we have here in QB. It's safe to say being the church in our time and place has some peculiarities about it. And I hope you notice that phrase, safe to say. I mean, because you really hear that a lot about safety right now, don't you? And pretty much everyone's talking about safety, all concerned about protecting ourselves and the public. Safety comes first is the usual phrase we hear. I've certainly said it and will probably continue to say it in some ways. In fact, I just got an email from an airline this week, and they were assuring me that they were putting my safety above all. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, I'm not sure that's really true. I'm not sure it is safety first, is it? Okay, the 12 disciples. Man, I have such fondness and admiration for them, and a smidge of sympathy at times. Jesus was clearly this captivating and charismatic person, and people were just drawn to him. And he was wise, and he was insightful, and he was funny. You know, like, hey, buddy, have you noticed that log in your own eye? He was profoundly frustrating in some ways, but also compassionate and warm and welcoming, and he had this whole hospitality thing going on around him. He seemed to like company. Surely he loved a party. In the Gospels, whenever there was a dinner bash happening, he seemed to be there. And he attracted this whole range of people across age and education and ethnicity and social class. And the disciples, the ones we remember as the 12, they were probably a pretty odd grouping themselves. Different kinds of people and personalities from varied backgrounds, from zealots to Pharisees, from right to left. Probably there were categories that I even haven't thought of or even aware of. Jesus, he still does this. He still draws people whom often otherwise don't seem to have a whole lot in common. And those of you who've been here some Sunday mornings may have already noticed that phenomenon. We're not necessarily here because we have a whole lot alike. We're often quite different, in fact, but who nonetheless coalesce. I hope you like that little bit of assonance there. Feel free to use it. Nonetheless coalesce. Who come together around this remarkable individual. And with that diversity come some challenges. Anyway, here we are. A full 10 chapters into Matthew's account of Jesus' life and ministry. And the ride for the 12 has been just wild. It all began towards the end of chapter 4 of Matthew's gospel, when he tells us that Jesus began to call the 12 together. We don't get the complete roll call until our reading for this morning. But I think it's reasonable to assume that this group has been following Jesus around Galilee for a good long while now. And it's been this extraordinary experience, this being close up with Jesus. And he's been so busy doing some amazing things. He's been teaching, he's been healing the sick of all kinds, including restoring an ill servant of a centurion to health. I mean, talk about crossing social lines. I mean, don't forget that Matthew's writing for a Jewish audience. And they would have some significant discomfort, if not pain, about things Roman. And Jesus, he's been casting out demons, preaching on all manner of things in the Sermon on the Mount, which is a full 3 chapters of Jesus talking about things in such a way that it seemed to turn almost everything that everybody, you know, just knew upside down. He's done miracles, demonstrated power over nature by calming a storm. He spent time with sinners, more social lines are crossed, and he's even raised the dead when he brought back to life the daughter of one of the synagogue leaders. Every day, there's something new and exciting and perplexing. And, you know, it must have been exhilarating for them being there right alongside Jesus. We heard more of this in the reading that Fiona shared with us earlier, how he was teaching and preaching and healing amongst a people who Jesus saw as being like sheep without a shepherd, which is, I find, to be such a poignant, in some ways heartbreaking phrase. His perception is that he's seeing all sorts of people who are kind of lost and who are vulnerable. He turns to his friends and he asks them, he says, okay, let's ask God for help. There's a big time need here. Something's got to be done. It doesn't say this in the text, but in my mind anyway, maybe he waits for them just to do that, to ask God to pray. And immediately after they've prayed, in some way, partially answering the prayer that they just offered, Jesus calls the 12 around him, and like our reading from last week, he delegates to them at least some of the authority he possesses. He extends to them the power to heal and to exercise, to cast out demons. And then he sends them out with a commissioning. He explains the mission and the rules of engagement. Gives them clear instructions as to where they're to go and where they're not to go. Their mission presently is exclusively to Jewish people. The non-Jews' time will come soon enough, and we heard that commissioning last week at the end of Matthew chapter 28. But for the moment, they're just to go to the people they know best. They're to go to their friends and their neighbors, the people of Israel. And they're to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, a kingdom that is now operative. And they're to be about healing the sick, even those with leprosy. There's another social line being crossed. And to be about casting out demons and even raising the dead themselves. And then he turns to them and he says, and be safe. Safety first. Just going to check my notes on that. Nope, my mistake. He doesn't actually say, stay safe, does he? In fact, I'm not sure that Jesus ever did. Certainly in my reading of the New Testament, safety is not usually an item on the prayer list of the different early church writers. I did some checking this week, and I found that there are 136 New Testament references to prayer. And so on your behalf, I looked each one of them up. It took a little while. And when the contents of the prayers was indicated, because some of them just simply those references were, you know, and they prayed. But when we're informed as to what they were praying about, they tended to be prayers for faith and strength and comfort and integrity and courage and provision and that kind of thing. But safety, as best I can see, not so much. To be fair, there was that time when the disciples thought they were going to drown in the storm, and they called out to Jesus to save them with an impressive prayerful fervor. They grant us safety. And of course he did, at least for the moment he did. And yes, Jesus does pray for protection for his people. He prays that God will protect them from temptation. We remember the prayer he taught his friends that we make together every week. We remember the what's called the Lord's Prayer. We remember that line, lead us not into temptation, or as some translate, save us from the time of trial. But that's not quite the same as stay safe. We also hear in his high priestly prayer in John 17, Jesus asking God twice to protect his people, to protect them from evil, and to protect them so that they will have unity. See, it's protection for a purpose. And that purpose isn't simple safety. It's to help them achieve the mission. Where there are prayers for protection, it's protection to allow for the success of the mission of the church. And of course, this is our conundrum right now. We live in a time when we're quite properly and quite appropriately being asked to pay attention to the issues of safety. And we must. It's, for me anyway, one of the things I so appreciate in listening to Dr. Henry's regular updates. Her palpable and heartfelt concern that we stay safe. That we be careful. That we protect ourselves, and in doing so, that protect others, protect our community. Like, I get that. I'm trying my best to do that, and I know you are too. But it's also more complicated than just staying safe, isn't it? If safety is our mission, if that's our end, our goal, well, logically, in the long run, it just doesn't quite work. Because it will subsume and it will end up devouring everything else. Because life is inherently a risky proposition. And to live life requires some degree of risk-taking. Otherwise, the airline that wanted me to know that their slogan was safety above all, well, they'd never actually fly anyone anywhere. Because why would you take the risk? I remember one of the hardest things about being a parent of young children was allowing them, or at times putting them, in a position of taking risks. Because we somehow knew that to live and to thrive requires some degree of risk-taking, doesn't it? And it's a really tough thing trying to balance this out. And I, for one, have been pretty impressed as to how our provincial leadership, across the usual ideological divides, how they've managed things over these last months, and particularly the way the aforementioned Dr. Henry has used persuasion over legislation, has constantly offered encouragement and not fear to move us through this time of crisis, trying to shift us from the vital and necessary focus on safety to living into the inherently risky business of just living, of knowing when to lock down and when to hazard opening up, to manage risk. As Diane reminded me this last week, one of our ways of being here in the church, and it's really been an effective one over the years, I think, has been to invite people in. Come into our building. We'll talk. We'll get to know each other. We'll offer care and service within these walls. But of course, today we can't really do that, can we? Because it's like safety first. So what does our mission look like now? My guess is that those 12 disciples of Jesus were just a bit bewildered and more than a little anxious to discover that they were being sent out. And being sent out with a bare minimum of stuff, they were to step way out of their comfort zone. They were to travel light. They weren't to take any cash, not to take any baggage. They surely had no building to invite people into. But my impression is that eventually, possessing no more than the good news of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, they did okay. So 2 millennia later, we stand in a new place for us, but really it's a familiar place for the church. We're being sent out. Even in this crisis, we are being sent out. We are being called out. See, the interesting thing to me is that word translated as church in the New Testament means called out. In this time, well, in some time, we'll get this building open. Don't know when. Hope it's sooner than later. But one day, I hope to sit here with all of you and worship and hear the word and pray and sing. Sing together. So one day we will do that when it's safe to do so. And it will be wonderful. But in the meantime, we're being called out. You and I are surely being called out in different and unique ways. One size will not fit all. But our basic mission has not changed. Last Wednesday, Diane and I were participants in an online meeting with the provincial health minister, the Honorable Adrian Dix. And we were there with a goodly number of other United Church leaders. And he was kind of getting us up to speed on some things. And at one point, Minister Dick said something that I immediately highlighted in my mind, and I also knew immediately that Diane was doing the same thing. And it surprised me and it convicted me. He was especially concerned about the dangers of isolation in our communities right now. Because, like, we humans, we don't do well when we're isolated. You've heard that here countless times. Isolation can do all sorts of damage. And referring to the church on this matter, he said this: our work, that is, the work of the church, our work is more important and more difficult than ever. And you know, it was like we were being called out. We were being reminded of who we are and what we do. When the government of our province tells us that they need the church to be about its mission more than ever, like, that's a bit of a sea change, isn't it? I have not heard that kind of talk in this province for nearly half a century now. And to my surprise, I'm now old enough to be able to say that. But there you go. But as I remember mentioning, and honestly, without knowing fully what I meant when I said it, but I remember saying at the beginning of this pandemic that this might just be the time when the church shines. See, I think this might be a Kairos moment. It might be the opportune time, a time for action. This is our time. It's a risky business being a disciple, being sent out. But it's our business. You and me, I think we are being called out And we are being sent out in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you once again for your generous and faithful giving to the work we are doing at St. Stephen's. It is making that work possible. Will you join me in saying a prayer as we commit these gifts to God and to God's mission in the world? Gracious God, creator of all that we need, you have blessed us with abundance and we offer you our thanks. We place our gifts before you, trusting in your mercy and renewing our commitment to your mission in the world. We give in the name of Christ, whose life was given for us. Amen. I have a few announcements for us today. The first is regarding the survey that you all received via email from the church office earlier this week. Our board has made a decision that for now, for throughout the summer, we are going to continue with worship online exclusively. We will not be gathering for worship in person. We will revisit that decision in September when we see what things are looking like then. But for now, we will continue to do things the way we've been doing them over these last 3 months. Having said that, we want to do that as well as we can, and we want it to be effective in connecting with you and helping you to stay connected with us, with each other, and with God. And so we want to know some information from you about how this has been working for you, if there's some things you're longing for, if you have some creative ideas of ways that we could do our life together, maybe in new ways, but under the current social distancing restrictions. So please take the time to fill out that survey and return it to the church office. The information that we gather in that is what is going to guide our decision making and our planning for the fall and beyond. So it's really important that we hear from you, your perspective on how things are going for you. We also, in this time, have found that our website has taken a much greater place of prominence in our life together. It is the way that most people are connecting with us. And so we're looking for someone who might have some website management skills who could help us with that because it's become a bigger job. So if you or you know of someone who has those kinds of skills and might be interested in helping us out, could you please call the church office and pass that name on to us? We would really appreciate having someone who's a little more skilled technically than we are to help us with that part of our ministry. And finally, in response to all of the events in recent weeks surrounding the protests about racism and its enduring presence in our world and our countries, the Black Clergy of the United Church of Canada are hosting an online prayer vigil this afternoon at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you are interested in participating in that, it will be a time of worship, a time of lament, and a time for us to consider how we as Jesus' people are called to be and to act in the face of racism. So you can go to our church website to the events section, and there is a link there by which you can connect to that service this afternoon. And now for our blessing for the day. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage and hold fast to that which is good. Render no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor everyone. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit who is with you. And may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and give you peace. Amen.